good to see you again here on another Bible study day. And we've got a real good...
Our text today, scripture, comes from... This was probably written by a student or a protege, so to speak, of Isaiah. Those of us who receive Christ as our Savior, we all become a part and are adopted into that family.
And God is going to give you an opportunity to be good, kind, to elevate, to help somebody.
All right, we're going to get right into our lesson today. And we've got a real good lesson. It is Wednesday. Thank you so very much for coming and joining us on our Bible study day. We've got an awesome lesson. Now get your pens ready because we're going to jump around a little bit. Our topic for today is showing loyalty. Amen. Showing loyalty. And our scripture is found. Write this down now. Luke 8 verses 1, 2, and 3. Luke 8 verses 1 through 3. Mark chapter 15 verse 40. And then John chapter 20, verses 10 through 18. John 20, 10 through 18. Let me say it again. I know that it is here in front of you, but I'll say it again for those who might just be listening. Luke 8, 1, 2, and 3, Mark 15 and 40, and then John 20, verses 10 through 18. Showing loyalty. Amen. Showing loyalty. I must say that of the character qualities, when I'm talking about different qualities that I attempt to exhibit, qualities that I look for in other people, it is no doubt that this is one of the big ones for me. One is I want you to be honest, amen, trustworthy. Loyalty is huge with Michael Evans. I mean, I'm just telling you, I'm just being, just telling you. See, because when a person is loyal to you, They will love you no matter what, no matter what you're dealing with. I mean, you know, they're just going to be there. They're gonna bend over for you. They're gonna go to war for you and with you. So as I look for that in other individuals, you should be able to look for that in me. You know, I've said so many times that folks from the outside cannot talk to me negatively about a member of the Bethlehem Baptist Church. I don't care. Me and that person may have had just a falling out, but you are not going to be able to say anything negative to me about said person, because in my mind, as a matter of fact, this Sunday we'll mark Sister Evans and I 32nd anniversary as members here at the Bethlehem Church. Well, why do I keep up with that? Well, one is because we came here in our minds on our way to Houston. We came here to get a grade and to leave and go to Houston, go back to where we were born and raised. But that wasn't the will of God. 32 years. So when I think about Sharon, amen, Massey, that is Sharon Massey, 32 years, Doris, and Deacon Grooms, 32 years. 32 years ago, we walked down that aisle, Sister Brooks on one door, 32 years ago. My gosh, Sister Teresa Myers and all y'all, 32 years ago. Florence, you know, 32 years ago. Oh, how time flies. And look at my face to mess around and got white on my face. But that's 32 years to do that to you. One of these days, I'm a cheat and I'm just going to cut it all off. Hello, and then I don't know, you know, because now gray coming up in my head. But that loyalty, when you've been with folks, when you've been through things, I mean, it's just that way. It is just that way. Little brother called me a couple of weeks ago. My youngest brother, Ryan, called me. He's getting married, and he said, Big Brother, that's what he calls me. He said, Big Brother, I want you to sing in my wedding. I said, man, I ain't sang in a wedding in 25 years. He said, I know, Big Brother, but I sure want you to sing in my wedding. I say, sing what, man? He said, I want you to sing the Lord's Prayer. I said, oh, Lord, can I just say a prayer? Can I just pray a long time? He said, no, man, my fiance, Brianna, she wants to hear my Big Brother sing. So he knew when he said that. I said, okay, Doc, I will be there and I will sing. That's that kind of loyalty we're talking about. Loyalty will cause you to do things that you just wouldn't normally do. And here in this lesson, we have once again, we have the writers of the Gospels highlighting the women's loyalty to Jesus the Christ. The women's loyalty to Jesus Christ. Amen. This past Monday, I was just teasing the ladies. As a matter of fact, on our shout out, the sisters had 103 in Bible study this past Monday. Now, for some of y'all, that might not be a whole lot. I understand. But for us, we haven't had a real just show enough mission meeting like that, because we used to have mission on Mondays around here at Bethlehem, and we just hadn't had a mission meeting like that in a long time. And I'm really excited. I was giving them a hard time, but when my wife told me that, and y'all, even while I was at city council meeting, it popped up on my phone, we had 103. I'm thinking, praise be to God. Praise be to God. These women stood right there by Jesus. So let's go now to Luke chapter 8, and we're getting ready to learn about one of his most ardent supporters here. Luke chapter 8. Now, bear in mind, let's give some background here. It is in Luke 4 where Jesus begins his first, if you would, his preaching tour, as the commentator would call it, in Galilee. When you get to Luke chapter 8, what you need to know is that now he's going on his second outing as it concerns the multitudes and otherwise. And verse number 1 says it like this: "And it came to pass that afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him." Amen. The 12 were with him. These are the 12 apostles, the one who Jesus had chosen. Note what the text says in verse number 1. "It came to pass that afterward," in other words, we're transitioning. He's transitioning now. That after he had gone on that first tour, transitioning now, he went throughout every city in that particular region. Again, Galilee, every village, showing the glad tidings. I like that. Showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. Not only was he preaching, but he was demonstrating. He was showing what God will do with you and what God can do through you. Listen, talk is cheap. Amen. But your walk and your talk, Michael Evans, I'm not pointing the finger at you, but your walk and your talk, it has to line up. It's got to line up. Listen, it is so very easy to be holy woman or to be holy man when you're in the church, isn't it? Amen. But try that on your job. Try that out in those secular settings. You try to be holy when other folk aren't so holy themselves, when other people aren't treating you right, when you know they got it out for you, when you know they got daggers in their eyes. And Lord, if their eyes could talk, it will cut you into pieces. But note here that God calls you to be an upright child of God no matter what. And I love how the scripture says that Jesus went preaching, hallelujah, and showing. Preaching and showing. So if you're listening to me today, if you feel like you just have a word to share with somebody, go on and open your mouth, go on and tell it. But let me tell you something. Be very careful about espousing the word of God if your lifestyle does not match up. Amen. I'm not throwing rocks at anybody. Hello. You got to know that this sword cuts both ways. There will come times in our Christian walk when for some of us, you get that hood in you. You understand. I'm talking about me now, because I kind of know where I know where it ain't no kind. I know where I come from. And you can be real saved, as Pastor Oscar Epps would say. You could be the saverest person ever. As my brother would say, don't tell Pastor Epps I said this, but he did say it in his own camera. But people can push you back to your base nature. Amen. They can put, amen, if you let them, they can push you back to that base nature. But note here that when God wants the world to really see who he is all about, he sent us out as ambassadors, and he calls us to go preaching and showing. For those individuals who are in pastor's preaching class, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Those who have been through my preaching class, you know what I'm talking about. Don't come tell me that you want to preach, amen, and you're not living an upright life. Don't tell me that God has called you to preach if you haven't yet been called out of the world and been called to serve. There should not ever be a job too large or too small for a preacher of the gospel. Amen. You got you got to roll up your sleeve. You got to take off these cute clothes and you got to go to work for the Lord. The Bible says that he went throughout and he was showing and he was telling. Jesus was, y'all, in the synagogues. Jesus was in the synagogues. He was in their community spot. Jesus went right where the action was. Luke chapter 8 verses 4 through 15. He went right there and he taught them in parables. And then he demonstrated in chapter 8 verses 26 through 39. He demonstrated the power of God over demonic forces. Oh, let me say that for a little while. When you preach it and teach it, Michael Evans, you got to be reminded of the fact that God gives you power over demonic spirits. Now, let me tell you something. Now, some folk think I'm talking some crazy spiritual talk, but you got to hear, you need to know that if there's a Holy Spirit, you got to acknowledge the fact that there are evil spirits. And God gives us, his children, power over them. He gives us power over them. And watch this. In Luke 8, verses 43 through 48, and then verses 53 through 56, not only was Jesus preaching, not only was he casting out demons, but Jesus was performing miraculous acts of healing. And if you read it even a little closer, you'll discover that Jesus was even raising spoke from the dead. So when God puts his word in you, amen, it will be demonstrated through your lifestyle. And I know I stayed here too long, but let me say just one more thing. And the Bible says the 12 were with him, the 12 disciples, those who he later called apostles. Apostle, the term meaning one sent. They were there with him. They were there with him. And watch this, verse number 2. And watch this. And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils. Lord have mercy. She was there as well. So look at the word of God. So watch God. Watch the inclusion of women in regard to serving Jesus. I want you to see that. See, he mentions on purpose, John. Luke mentions on purpose. Luke is a historian. Luke, as a historical writer who was right there when it was happening, Luke, who was there, Luke, who was an eyewitness, Luke, who had been interviewing people, Luke says, you need to know the 12 were there. Amen, because he was hearing it from eyewitnesses. He was there with Luke, he was there with Paul and Peter. Hello, somebody. So let me make sure that I got that real, get that right. So Luke getting the word from other folk in this particular case, when we talk about the Gospels, based upon the accounts that he had received from those Christians who had been with Jesus, they said, you need to know that men and women were there. Now, why is this such an issue? Why is this such a thing? Why is this so important? Well, you need to understand that was a society where women did not have the same rights as men. A woman couldn't even divorce a man. A man could be messing off and have 5 other women on the side, and the woman, bless her, couldn't even endorse a man. A woman couldn't really even own any property. You understand what I'm saying? A woman's word on the was zero, no good on the witness stand. The Sanhedrin wouldn't even call a woman during a trial because her word meant nothing. But here you have Jesus, and the Bible teaches us that what Jesus did was Jesus broke down the wall of separation between genders, a wall that was erected in Genesis when the, during the fall of humanity from grace. When Adam and Eve sinned against God, God erected a wall of separation where one had dominion over the other. And by putting that wall of separation there, could nobody break it but Jesus. The scripture says that there were women, and watch this, it says certain women, didn't even give their name, but that's all right. You're going to hear more about them. It was certain women, watch this, which had been healed of evil spirits, that's one sickness, and infirmities. So the text says that these women had received total restoration through Jesus Christ. They had a physical restoration, which were their infirmities, and they had a spiritual restoration, which was their, it says, the evil spirits, the demons on the inside of them. Let me tell you something. There were many times and many occasions when Jesus would heal somebody. And when he would heal them, he would heal them of their physical infirmity. Then he would say, and go and sin no more. Wait a minute. Hold up. I had a withered hand. And he'll say, go and sin no more. Wait a minute. I've been tossed to and fro by this ailment, by these demons. Yes, I will heal you and go and sin no more. Jesus gave to these women total restoration. And it is clear here what he has done with them. And then it calls out a specific woman, Mary, called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils. Lord have mercy. Her encounter with Jesus, the woman named Mary. Mary was a very popular name because Mary is a derivative of the name Miriam. Miriam being the sister of Moses, who herself was a prophetess and also a musician leader. She led songs, Exodus 15 and 20. Check it out. Miriam is singing. But note this, that she was called Mary Magdalene. Magdalene was her hometown, Magdala, located near the Tiberias River. Understand, here you have this woman, Mary Magdalene, located near Tiberias on the eastern coast of the Sea of Galilee, actually. So note that this woman was of such prominence to where she wasn't just a certain woman. This was a woman who had extraordinary encounter with Jesus. What did he do? Seven demons were cast out of her. Don't act like you ain't never seen anybody that was full of demons. Amen. It wasn't just one demon that was messing with them. You know, they had several demons. Once you dealt with the one demon, you had some other ones coming back at you. Amen. 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 And watch this. And then verse number 3 says, and Joanna, the wife of Cusa, a steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance. So you had certain women that followed him. Then you had Mary Magdalene, where seven demons were cast out of her. Give me some more names. Then he said, let me tell you who else. You had Joanna, the wife of Cusa. Cusa, if you would, was a servant of Herod Antipas. So if Cusa was a servant, a sure enough house steward, somebody that had a rank in the governor's mansion, in the governor's household, that was a part of the person that coordinated the goings on in the governor's house, Herod, y'all know Herod, in the governor's house, he had to have been paid very well. And the scripture says that you had Joanna, whose husband was making some good money, and Susanna, amen. Susanna now comes from, if you would, the name of a Jewish heroine whose story occurs through what is called the apocryphal edition to the book of Daniel. Well, it was a popular name, the name of a heroine. But keep this in mind. The text said that these women, what did they do, y'all? They ministered. Y'all know what minister means? When you minister, you're serving. When you're ministering, you're serving. When you're ministering, you're serving. Stop calling yourself a minister if you don't want to serve. Amen. And then, Lord Jesus, and then don't think you're ministering when you get to serve where you want to. Servants go wherever the master sends them. This lady, the Bible says that these women ministered unto him of their substance. They didn't take from anywhere else. But the text says that they gave from what they had. They gave from what they had and they served the Lord. They ministered. They saw to it that those following Jesus, they saw to it that the Christ, that Jesus had what he needed, had food when he needed it, had. You understand what I'm saying? That they ministered unto him of their substance. T-H-E-I-R. These weren't beggar women. They weren't going around begging and then giving what they begged for to the Lord. It was what they already had. You know, people's understanding of offering is so messed up. Amen. Amen. And it's amazing how messed up it is because the Lord doesn't ever ask you to give anything that you don't have. Amen. Up in here. He does not ask you to give anything. Look, look at the text. Look at verse number 3 again. They gave of their substance. You know, it's like doing a canned food drive. When you go to your pantry and you got 8 cans of green beans, you got 10 cans of green beans. Surely if you're going to have a canned food drive and you're the member at say at church, or God has placed it upon your heart, surely you know you can't eat 10 cans of green beans in one or two settings. Ain't that many of y'all at the house. Ain't nobody there but about 4 of y'all now. Maybe just 2. And then half the time you don't eat at the house anyway. But then it's amazing how we can be funny when God is asking you to give a tenth. Somebody say, well, I ain't got no money. But you got 10 canned goods. You can give one of them. That's a tithe. Hello, somebody. God never asks you to give anything that you do not have. Then he says that when you bring it, you ought to bring it as a cheerful giver. These women, I know a whole lot of women. As a kid, I'm 54 now, but I know a whole lot of women who caught a whole lot of devilment because their husbands thought that they were bringing too much to the church. And really, they weren't saying to the church. They were saying, you're bringing that down out of that preacher. And one of the things that I learned 30 some odd years ago was, I say this. Now, wait a minute, ladies. I said, now, before you bring a cake to the church, I'm trying to help somebody, make sure that you leave a baked cake at home. Amen. So if you're being asked to bring dessert down to the church, I know, Pastor, you so country. No, but I want you to hear me. If you ask to bring something down to the church, or take some food on your job, make sure that you got food that has been provided at your own house. Amen. Take care of your own house first. Hello, somebody. It is important that we understand that you are giving of your substance. You're giving from what God has given you, and he does not ever tell you to give what you don't have. Amen. That's the lesson. Write that one down. And then as we move on in our verses of scripture, we'll go now to Mark chapter 15, verse number 40. So here we have Jesus in Luke. Jesus was what? He was ministering. It was the early part of his ministry. And now here we are at Calvary. There were also, verse 40, there were also women looking on afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James the Less, and of Joseph and Salome. Amen. There were also women looking on afar off. Why is this important, preacher? Well, because you know that the disciples fled from him in the Garden of Gethsemane. They left him. They left him. It does not say, because if it was so, the writers would have listed. It didn't say that Peter was looking afar off. It doesn't say that Nathaniel was looking afar off. It doesn't say that Thaddeus was looking afar off. I think you see where I'm going. It doesn't say that Thomas was looking afar off. It didn't say Matthew was looking afar off. Do I need to call a roll? It does not say that they were afar off, that they were looking. Now in John was the only one whose name could be included in the number of people who were there at the foot of the cross, but he was the only one who was there. The scripture says, demonstrating the loyalty of these women, that they refused to abandon Jesus. Lord, have mercy. How many of you, when the Lord doesn't answer you like you want him to answer you, you run off from him? How many of you, when you get sick and you figure God ought to heal you right away and he doesn't, that you stop praying? How many of you, when you get so messed up, so mad, so beat down and so tore up, amen, that when the Lord isn't a genie in a bottle, when you rub it and you come out and you want to get your 3 wishes, he ain't that kind of a God. How many of us abandon God when the things in life that we want to work out a certain way doesn't work out for us? The Bible said that these women, amen, they hung in there. I have all said, and it is true, that if it hadn't been for women in the church, hello, I'm gonna tell you right now, we probably wouldn't even have church. Oh, no, he didn't. Yes, I did. I know I'm right. Amen. Amen. Listen, I can hear a brother saying right now, River, yeah, they ought to have 103 women. It's more of them than it is us. Amen. It's 150 of y'all. Hello. The point is that when times got tough, they didn't run away from the Lord. They stayed there with him. That's loyalty. See, real friends are with you when you hit rock bottom. Real friends are with you when your money run out. Real friends are with you when you don't have much to your name. Real friends are there with you when your entourage leaves you. Real friends are there when you don't have a title. Real friends, amen, don't leave friends in a lurch. Real friends, the Bible teaches that real friends are discovered, they are found, they are gained in adversity, because I know who you are when I'm going through in my life. That's a real friend. They were there, and he said, let me tell you who was there. Here she is again, Mary Magdalene. Oh, not only Mary Magdalene, but Mary, the mother of James the Less. Now, the reason he's called James the Less, this is probably James, who also was one of the 12, is probably the son of Alphaeus, but he was not mentioned, if you would, in the list, as in James, you know, one of the sons of thunder, the sons of Zebedee, but he was James the Less, and of, hallelujah, Joseph and Salome. Lord have mercy. The word of God is so descriptive because it lays out for us who was there. Mary, the mother of James the Less and of Joseph, and Salome was there. The mother of James and John. You met her in Matthew 27, around verse 56. Make my babies, make put one on the left, put one on the right when you get into your kingdom. They were there. Didn't leave him. And you know, it's amazing. The Lord knows who's there. He knows who has abandoned him. Then in John 20, here we go. We're moving now from the crucifixion to the resurrection. In John 20, beginning at verse number 10, Word of God says, and I'll read 10 and 11. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping, and she wept. She stooped down and looked into the sepulchre. Amen. What does the verse say? The disciples, they came because the women said somebody took his body. They came, they looked, they didn't see him. They went on home. But here she is. But Mary, we believe again that is Mary Magdalene. Mary stayed. Mary stayed. She stood on the outside. She was weeping. She was crying. Listen, she was there. Why did they go there in the first place? They went there in the first place because they wanted to perfect. They wanted to finish, if you would, the burial ritual. Remember, they had to take Jesus down off of that cross on that Friday. They had to get him, take him quickly, because the sun was going down and it was getting ready to be a new day. They had to take him down. And Joseph of Arimathea, and they did the very best that they could. Nicodemus, they did the best they could to try to get him prepped and cleaned him off. But the women went back to make sure that Jesus was going to be all right. They didn't even care whether the stone had been rolled away or not. Matter of fact, I don't really think they gave it much of a thought when they started going. Later on, one of them did. But still, they were right there with him. His sister hung back. Verse 12 says, and see two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. Verse number 13, and they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. Y'all, she didn't leave. She didn't let these two strangers, of course they were angels, but she didn't let these two strangers scare her away. She stayed there. What a connection. We always talk about the Lord being faithful. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Turn it around. Can they put your name in that blank? In that blank. You fill in the blank. Michael will never leave you nor forsake you. Marcus will never leave you nor forsake you. Chantel will never leave you nor forsake you. Lisa will never leave you nor forsake you. Carrie will never leave you. Amen. Can people say that about us? Loyalty. Loyalty. Husband mess up, he's out of here. Wife mess up, ain't fooling with him. Amen. Loyalty. Loyalty, something that you have in good days and bad days. Thick and thin. The messengers of verse 12 asked, man, what's wrong? She didn't leave. Do you see that? Some of us do a whole lot of church hopping. Amen. I mean, you know, soon as trouble comes, we leave. We gone. And it's always somebody else's fault. You know, I think that if you join like five churches in 8 months, I think you got the problem. Pardon my grandma. You have the problem. They say it right there, verse 14. And when she had said thus, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. He was there all the time. Y'all remember that song? He was there all the time. Jesus was there all the time. Waiting patiently in life, he was there all the time. That's for somebody today. You feel abandoned. He hadn't left you. You're not receiving the answer that you want. He hadn't left you. Waiting patiently, he's there. But she didn't recognize him. Just like we don't recognize him sometimes, and he's there. And Jesus says unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Look at her. What? How you going to lift a full-grown man? Three times your, I'm imagining, body weight. Dead weight at that. What's the lesson in verse 15? The lesson is, I'll do whatever it takes to make sure that my Lord is all right. That's a word. Listen to this woman. I will do whatever it takes. When God is calling you to do impossible things, because I'm telling you, if it really wasn't the case and he was over there, she wasn't going to be able to pick him up. But that's not the issue. The issue, the question is, how far are you to go in impossible circumstances on behalf of the Lord? This sister Mary said, I'll do whatever I need to do. That's the answer. What is it that you want God to do with you and through you? Whatever he needs me to do, I'll do it. Verse 16, Jesus said unto her, Mary, she turned herself, he didn't do it, saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. He had addressed her in verse number 15. She didn't know who he was. 16, he called her by her name. Oh, don't miss it. 15, he respectfully called her woman, which is respectful in Greek. In 16, he called her name. Oh, don't miss that. Jesus is the chief shepherd. His sheep know his voice. And the sheep know him. The direct link was made when he called her name. Amen. Mama, why do you pray all the time? Because I know the Lord and I know he'll answer prayer. Daddy, why do you continue to worship him like you do? Because I belong to him. Church, why do you still want to gather? Because we're the ecclesia. It means that we're the called out from the world. We know his name and he knows our name. And I know his voice. And when he speaks my name, says my name, I recognize who he is. And Jesus says unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. Jesus says, no, hold up. The relationship has changed. Amen. The relationship has changed. No, you can't. No, stay there. You can't compel me to stay in the old condition. Amen. In my mortal form, because now she was beholding, bless her heart, didn't know it. She was now beholding an immortal Jesus. Mortal, flesh and blood. Immortal, amen. It's different. It's different now. The relationship is different now. The prior relationship has served its purpose, and not that I am risen, but my God has brought me, amen, lifted me. Now the relationship has changed. I tell people all the time, you be careful about thinking that Jesus is just your big buddy. Amen. No, Jesus is more than our buddy. Jesus is our Lord. Jesus is our Savior. Jesus is our Deliverer. Jesus is our way maker. Jesus is our King of Kings. Jesus is our way out of no way. He ain't just your buddy where you just sit down, drink a little coffee, you know, open up a little can or something. No, he ain't that. Uh-uh. Jesus, he's, no, don't touch me. You can't touch me now because I've got the process must be completed. Amen. You find here a changing in the relationship. But she was still there, wasn't she? In verse 18, Mary came, told the disciples, hallelujah, that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. This woman, she was loyal, and the Lord entrusted her with the word. Don't miss it. He entrusted her with the word. She went back and told them what she saw. He entrusted her. Bear in mind, I said early in the lesson, a woman wasn't even, in that culture, wasn't even respected enough to have her testimony heard by men. And Jesus, fully well knowing what she was going to do, sent her back to do just that. Testify to the men. Let me tell you what I've seen. Now, this is the second time. Because it was the women that told him, number one, that he had risen. And this time, she was able to say, oh, yeah, he's risen. And I've seen him for myself. Remember last week's lesson? Y'all, come see a man. Here's another woman making the case, telling you what I saw for myself. Loyalty. Loyalty. It's all about loyalty. Showing loyalty. Don't be so quick to turn your back on God, who has not turned his back on you. May God bless you. May God keep you. That's our lesson for the day. Amen. Let's pray. Father, it's in the name of Jesus that we come. Thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. Thank you, God, for your word that is filled with power. Touch somebody. Make them to hear you. Feel you. And know you. This is our prayer in the most holy and high name of Jesus Christ. And under the authority of your name, we do pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a great rest of the week.